what would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Well, welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth, the weekend tipping show. And it's the same two I've had in the booth, so to speak, in the podcast studio, aka their gaffs, for the last few weeks. Joe Logan, Rory DeLarge. Rory's having mic issues, but we will hear him and we will get his selections. And that's the main thing. I'll go to you, Rory, first. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm back in sunny Riyadh. And actually missing Cheltenham for the first time in God knows how long. I'll be missing Cheltenham in the flesh, but plenty of time to watch it here because we got Ramadan starting next week, so no one will be doing anything during the day. I can watch a bit of Cheltenham in peace for a change.
Oh no! You won't be able to have a bet in Riyadh because Ramadan's on. Joe Logue, how are you?
Good, PK. I'm down in sunny Cork here for yesterday and today, so I'm enjoying myself. Yeah, all good.
Where is it sunnier, Cork or Riyadh? Well, it can get cloudy in Riyadh. There was racing on yesterday. It didn't look that cloudy yesterday though. Right, before we get stuck into the ITV action this weekend or this Saturday in particular, a few bits of housekeeping for you. Check out Paddy Power Racing YouTube. Brand new or relatively new, landed a couple of days ago. Brian Cooper Rewind is really good. I've watched the first half. I haven't been able to pull myself away from Cheltenham content. I've watched first half. It's Brian Cooper, Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power discussing. Brian Cooper's obviously his winners when he was riding, and I'm told it gets even juicier when they begin to chat about what happened with the Jigginstown job. But I must say, it was a lovely, refreshing change from getting a load of tips. I know saying that on a tipping podcast is probably a bit weird, but it was really, really good. Watch that one. Daily Cheltenham podcast with Rory DeLarge from Riyadh, Ruby Walsh from Cheltenham, PK from Dublin. We will be doing that every day during the festival. The first will land on Sunday afternoon. And then after that, we'll be recording after Dex on each day. So listen out for those daily podcasts. And the Cheltenham Fan Zone, again, I remind you, get your tickets. It's Gold Cup Day. It will be at the Camden in Dublin. It's really, really good fun. Check out the Paddy Power timeline, the Twitter timeline. You'll see what it looked like last year. It really is good fun. Grab a few mates. You'll get some bets, some merch, and you'll have a great day as well. So that is the tickets available in the show notes. Right, that's done and dusted. Joe, we're not too far away from Cheltenham, but we need to build up the army. We need a few winners at the traditional Saturday meeting at Sandown ahead of Cheltenham. It is the Betfair Imperial Cup Day. We're going to kick straight into it with the 150. It's the EBF Betfair National Novice Handicap Hurdle. It's a rake of premier handicaps, actually. Now, I don't know how to pronounce this one. Maybe one is it Hasthing or is it Hasthing? Go on, Rory. You probably know.
I don't actually. I'd just say Hasthing because I have no reason why. I mean, it's German bred. So you might want to say Hasthing if you think it's been, I don't think it was named in Germany, but it's officially French bred. Call it what you like.
All right. The John Joe horse for JP, who seemed to be building up quite the army ahead of Cheltenham. Now, Joe, you might fill me in. I'm going to go to you first. 11-1 I see in the anti-post market into 11-4 now. It's 130 Firefly for Paul Nichols, the top weight. 5-1 Hasta La Basta, baby, for Dan Skelton. 9-1 Western in the Park and 10-1 Away the Lad. Is this a right old punt here, Joe, or?
I don't think so, PK. I think this market has changed a lot from when it first came up. So I was actually off, but I would imagine someone priced it up, made it live, and someone came in and had a different opinion and flicked it around. So I don't think it's a gamble, to be fair. I'm not too sure if it's a Rick either, but maybe different of opinion in the trading room. But look, we have 17 runners here with 5 places. Looking down the field here, trying to take a swing at one each way. And the one that's flying under the radar for me a bit is Tara's Halls for Sue Smith. Was second to Roger Paul in a bumper at Huntingdon, then was like, you know, didn't even win that day and was pitched into the grade 2 bumper at Aintree. Connections obviously felt that, you know, he's a fair bit of talent. Bombed out that day, beating 100 lengths. ended up falling on hurdle debut Weatherby, and then was kind of given a considerate ride at Market Raisin next time out, just get a good experience under his belt. But look, his form is pretty decent after that. Look, was second to Handstands in a novice hurdle, who Ben Pauling has been pretty publicly saying he thinks a lot of. Then last time out at Doncaster in a maiden hurdle was behind Champagne Twist, who also reappears here. But Tara's Hall wasn't best placed that day. The finishing speed is 107%. Champagne Twist essentially made all when Tara Hall's had to do the tough work getting from the rear up to the front and finish with a fine rattle. Look, again, there was a decent price difference between them when the market went originally live, but there's not now. But I think Tara Hall's is still a decent price each way at 11 to 1.
Yeah, I see 40s in the back prices. Again, that's probably just one of those anti-post prices. And again, maybe a change of trader, maybe a little bit of money. Rory, your thoughts on the opener at Sandown for us?
Well, I had my danger here is Tara's Halls as well. I've written the race up for the notes. And again, I napped him on Hurdle's debut at Weatherby when he fell. So I was quite annoyed by that. It was a very winnable race. He's from a good family. Lucy Wadham trained him last season. Lucy still trains some of the family as well. She trained the Dan Brixen to win several times. And I've had my eye on Tara's Halls. He was a big eye catcher last time out behind Champagne Twist at Doncaster, doing all his best work late. And I thought he went under the radar. Again, the price has been clipped in a little bit since the market opened, but I thought Tara's Halls was still interesting because this is Lambert running at a strong pace. And I could see something coming from off the back being suited by that. Whereas the race didn't really pan out for Tara's Halls last time out, as Joe said perfectly. And I had him down as a danger, but I've actually gone with Hastings as my selection in the race. He was a massive eye catcher at Newbury last time. I ended up beating 12 and a half lengths, but he was dropped back to 2 miles in the race, won by Making Headway, and travelled really well. But he was too far back in the field, off a really slow gallop over a chip that probably didn't suit him either. Prior to that, he'd been impressive in winning at a Catholic. He beat Pickrock 3/4 of a length pretty cozily, and he was giving £6 to Pickrock that day. Pickrock's come out and won well at Ascot since, and Pickrock has to give him £4. So he's £10 better off with a horse that he beat easily last time out. And I think the handicappers just missed him. I mean, you know, you can say Tara's Halls has got the eye a couple of times. He's not won a race over hurdles yet. He had been running in very ordinary races, and he's weighted 117. Whereas Hastings won twice with his head in his chest and has only won 19. So this does look very much like a long-term plan. The fact that they dropped him back to 2 miles last time out to ensure that he couldn't get any more weight on his back, I thought was interesting. I didn't think Jonjo O'Neill Jr. threw the kitchen sink at him last time at any point of the race either. You know where I'm standing here. It's another Jonjo O'Neill horse that I like. I can never get them at the right time, but this horse has clearly been lined up for the race. It's a big week for JP, really, isn't it? JP wants to get a few winners in the next 7 days. And Hastings looks like he's the ideal starting point for the week. He's skinny enough in the betting. I'd hope to get a little bit bigger than he is at the moment. But I do want to be with them, and I'll be shopping around for the best price.
What's the last Jonjo O'Neill winner you backed?
Master Turn at the County Hurdle.
So regular listeners to this podcast know that Rory has a, I was going to say love-hate relationship, but it's just a hate-hate relationship with Jonjo. We're backing
Jonjo. But you can't not love Jonjo. You know, even if you think, oh, that Jonjo O'Neill, he's blah, blah, blah. You go and speak to him and you go away thinking, oh, what a lovely man he is.
But I can't figure out his horses. Right, so Hastings or Colour What You Like, the favourite. I think you're right. I think he'll drift back out to a nicer price. And as Joe said, watch out for extra place in that. Right, the Imperial Cup, the Betfair Imperial Cup. No bonus this year for horses who win this and go on to win at the festival. But there are a couple of runners who are doubly entered. Gypco for Ben Pauling is the favourite off a £7 penalty at 9/2. Beginning to Drift was shorter during the week, 5/1 Go Dante. And the now traditional and weekly gamble on Bad has already begun because Ben Pauling and Ben Jones as Bad is backed from 10s down to 11/2, Making Headway 7/1. You reference him already, Rory, and 15/2 Knickerbocker Glory. Right, Rory, you're up in the Imperial Cup.
I'm going to put two up in this race because I'm not putting anything up in the Lincoln Trial and that Wolverhampton later on. But my hands are slightly tied here because we did a festival preview and I put up Fave War as probably about my best handicap bet in the absence of Master Chewy in the Grand Annual. Favourite won the Coral Cup last season, is only 2 pounds higher. Really caught my eye when fifth in the Betfair Hurdle last time out. Bearing in mind, he ran a stinker in the Betfair Hurdle last year before winning the county. It was ridden by Heidi Peel on that day. Went off at 50-1, Betfair SP of 100, and ran really well to be fifth, looking like he was coming to the boil. He's 1 pound lower here. Again, so only, as I said, only 2 pound higher than when beating Pied Piper at Cheltenham last season. I didn't think he'd come here. I thought he'd go straight to the county hurdle. But you do have to respect Dan Skelton. How many trainers had more than one handicap winner at Cheltenham last season? Just the one, Dan Skelton, who was training his fourth county hurdle winner. So, you know, whatever your view on the stable overall, there's no better target trainer for handicap hurdles in the spring than Dan. Very much knows what he's doing, and Fave Warren has been brought to a peak for this. So although I was expecting him to go straight to the county, I've got to side with him here. The ground will be, it was soft at Newbury when he ran well last time out. It was soft, maybe good to soft when he won at Cheltenham. He should be fine on the ground. He's got form and head. He's got form and quick ground. He seems to be oblivious to it. So I've got to make him my main selection. But the aforementioned making headway, I think, is a massive danger. Again, I think the handicapper hasn't really got to grips with him. It's easy to talk about his race last time out and say, listen, he was let loose on the lead. He was able to stroll around in front at Newbury and nothing threw down a challenge to him. He won with his head in his chest. The time is terrible. But that's not the run to judge him on anyway. That was just setting him up for this, or potentially, you know, either the kind of probably the Martin Pipe, I think, at the festival was what his trainer is going to aim him for, given that he won at the festival last year with a Roco. But he's got an opportunity here. This will be a stiff test at 2 miles. It will feel like a bit further. Making headway, made the running last time out, but he was held up on his two previous runs in good quality novice hurdles. The grade two at Haydock, which was Kaminsas 1, or Kamsinas. And then he went to the grade one Formby novices hurdle at Aintree in December and finished fourth. Obviously, he only would have finished fifth if Foreign Glory had stood up. But the form of that race has worked out well. The horses who finished in front of him were second and third at Kelso last week in the grade two Premier novices hurdle. And I particularly like the fact that Cannock Park, who was just half a length in front of him at Aintree, was close up on the finish there at Kelso. Making headway, I thought, was for a horse running in a grade one hurdle, was tenderly handled that day. Sat out the back, made late headway when the race was over and was going on at the finish. I know he's beaten 15 lengths in the end, but I thought that was a likable performance. He backed that up, obviously, by winning at Newbury last time out. And there's more to come from him in handicaps. So again, I kind of thought he'd go Martin Pike on the back of that run at Newbury. But here he is in the Imperial Cup. He's definitely, he's completely unexposed. You know, this is his first handicap. And I think 1-2-9, given he's been running up against potential grade one performers, I think that's fair enough for him. And I think he will take a step forward. So he's a definite danger, and I'm inclined to back both of them at reasonable prices.
Yeah, Favoir and Making Headway, two against the field for Rory because he's not finding one in the Lincoln Trial. I'm sure you've got one for us in the Lincoln Trial, Joe, right?
No, unfortunately not, PK.
God's sake. For you as well, I'm going to have to tip one up on that. Go on, your thoughts on the Betfair Imperial Cup even.
Yeah, I'm delighted to hear that Rory likes Making Headway because I really like him as well. There's plenty in the field here that I could rule out pretty quickly. There's a few at big prices that are very hard to fancy. And look, Making Headway is a very decent price. Like, Rory's kind of covered pretty much his form angle there very well. He's totally unexposed. If handicap debut, like Rory mentioned, his graded performances are very good as well. And what's interesting is that this horse has kind of been on my radar all season, and it's one that Josh Guerrero and Oliver Greenhall kind of earmarked fairly early on could be a good one. They said that he needs a bit of time. He's a bit big and backward, and that they're not going to kind of push the button on him too soon. And like Rory said, he was fairly tenderly handled at Aintree that day. Same with a Roco and a Martin Pipe, and similar, like Rory said, to Dan Skelton, you know, you have to respect Greenall and Guerrero in these kind of races. And when they do kind of pick up one, they are usually right. So yeah, look, I think a mark of 1-2-9 is fairly lenient. He should come forward for that. I'd say he'd probably be up towards the pace this time, making it a test of stamina, and he'd be one that we'll be staying on towards the end. I think 7-1 is very fair.
Okay, double vote then for Making Headway, or 1.5 votes, I suppose. Favoir also thrown in there, the selections for the Betfair Imperial Cup. Go on, Joe, the last horse to do the double, win the Imperial Cup and win at the Cheltenham Festival.
Horse racing history is not my my subject. No, I wouldn't.
Got to go back.
My memory is shocking. Later. Even in the trading room, there'd be horses that won 3 or 4 weeks ago and I'd forget their name. I'd have to go looking it up. My brain can't handle all the information.
Well, Langerdan should have been. He won the race a few years ago, but obviously he didn't win the same year. I think Gaspara was the last one to do the double for Martin Pipe.
She won the Fred Winter.
It was one of the first Fred Winters. I think it was second or third.
It was very early days of the Fred Winter, yeah.
Yeah, a real tear.
The ride she got in that race was interesting as well, because Martin Pipe had a proper bet, I think, on doing the double, and he stood again with the bonus as well, because she ran in his colours. And I think he just told David Glastonbury, keep this away from all the other horses and don't stop hitting it.
I was early days of my racing. I was going to say career, but it's not a thing. I was the early day of my being a racing fan, and yeah, I was still in college or there, just out of college. And I said, this Gaspar won't be beat. Jeez, I was telling them all before the jockey. And then David Glastonbury's jocked up. I'm like, oh, because I had no idea who he was. I was like, what? But yeah, she'd lightweight, didn't she, and all that sort of stuff. Okay, on to the 3 o'clock. It's the bumper, the mayor's bumper on the card. A listed race, EBF Mayor's bumper, Honky Tonk Highway, on debut for Dan Skelton, is really interestingly short, won a point to point, hasn't been seen under rules, but is currently joint favourite for the race as we record on Friday morning. Just Call Me Lucy for Mark Walford did win a bumper last night. Sunset Marquesa for Joe Tizard and Brendan Bell, 9-2. Magical Annie, Ben Pauling, these colours be carried by some really good horses today or Saturday and into the week at Cheltenham. 8-1 My Louise, Bella's Bridge 10-1, 11's Bar. Not your cup of tea, Rory, I know, but you didn't tell me you didn't have a horse here, so off you go.
No, and I do. And you know what? I was even vaguely tempted by going with John Joe again. But I've got to mention Rule of Bua, because no doubt what will happen is the one I go for gets stuffed, and then the one that I've ruled out goes and wins. So people need to be aware of that. She won well in a bumper at Warwick 2 starts ago, and then was only fourth at Doncaster last time out on quicker ground, which I don't think suited her. I think she probably wants to test the stamina. She's got plenty of stamina in the pedigree. I can see her bouncing back at a price, Rule of Bua. I did have a look at her. She was in front of Magical Annie that day, and Magical Annie will be a shorter price. There's a strong case for Magical Annie. She cost plenty of money, 140 grand from Barry Fitzgerald after winning well at Galway on debut. And she was reported about a breathing problem and sent off favourite for that listed bumper last time out. She returns with a tongue tie and a hood on, and I can see her running a lot better. So I'm not surprised that she's in at a reasonably short price. And of course, Ben Pauling, not really getting winners in December, has been absolutely banging in winners for fun since January. So I'd expect an improved performance from Magical Annie. But because she's the stable first string, Keelan Woods, who's only recently back from that ban, will now sort of take over as first jockey again to the yard. But Ben Jones has been riding very well for Ben Pauling as well. And his other horse in the race, he's a much bigger price. I've made up my mind, will probably end up being a bigger price. You do have this issue when a trainer has two in a race, people automatically assume one is, one's the absolute first string and one's the absolute second string. And they tend to work out which one they should be with and ignore the second one. Whereas plenty often enough, a trainer has two horses with a live chance in a race, and the second string often goes off too big as a result. So I really like, I've made up my mind. She's well bred. She's out of a mare called Two Swallows, who won 3 times for Ben Pauling over 3 miles, over jumps, having been with Paul Weber. Paul Weber trained the Grand Dam, One Gulp, who won multiple races as well over jumps at up to 3 miles. One Gulp is a half-sister to Rule the World, who won the Grand National, half-sister also to Venelmar. He was a very good staying hurdler. And I've made up my mind, is going to be better for a test of stamina. She made most of the running, or made a lot of the running on debut at Wincanton, got led coming into the straight, traveling well and traded short and running, but was picked up later on by Jubilee Alpha, who looks a good prospect, the pair of them coming clear. I think she will really appreciate a stiffer test of stamina at Sandown. And I can see her improving a fair bit for what was a promising enough debut at Wincanton. And on pedigree, she's by an excellent sire in Blue Brazil. She's from a really, really productive dam line, and they all stay 2.5 miles and beyond. And this will feel like 2.5 at Sandown. So I've made up my mind. I think Eb represents excellent each way value.
I've made up my mind, and Rory has made up his mind. Have you, Joe Logue?
I have, and Rory's giving a hat tip to my selection as well. Magical Annie is the one that I like here. Look, like Rory said, he's bought from Barry Fitzgerald, won a Galway bumper. Glenn's Lullaby was second that day at Galway, and not disgraced behind good horses in Irish bumpers like the Enabler and the bumper at the DRF, the Grade 2 Mares bumper, was 6 to 13 that day, beating 18 lengths. But look, those bumpers are fairly strong. Sam Curling had a third that day, went over to Ayr and won a bumper over there. So look, the form's pretty good in Ireland. What I also like as well is that, when money comes for Barry Fitzgerald, horse in the trading room first time out, they usually know what they have. This horse is very well backed. We still went off 8-1, it was a fairly decent price, but was bigger prices on the day. He obviously knew he had a good one. Rory's kind of covered it there as well, was sent off favourite for a list of bumper in Doncaster. Respiratory noise, the jockey reported, comes back here with a tongue tie on, which is, you have to be forgiving in the game sometimes, PK, in order to make a pay. And look, I think you can, since they're going to try and rectify the issue, I think you can forgive that run. Ben Pauling is a trainer this year that has been bombing, like Rory said, but also he's a very good line into bumper horses. He's had a couple of them really well backed that have won first time out. So look, I think he knows what he has. The fact that they sent it off favourite for a listed bumper first time out in the UK is very interesting from the yard. And look, I'm willing to forgive inside of Magical Annie here.
Have you both forgiven Colonel Mustard?
No, I'm done. I'm out of the fan club.
Thank you. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
Shocking stuff.
Shocking stuff.
Shocking stuff.
Well, the horse never wins, Rory. And you keep use lads tipping up. I to quote you both, was like, if he doesn't win this race now, yeah, we can forget about him. Or something along those
lines. It's not strictly what I said.
Something along those lines.
those of us honored 100-1 each way for the champion hurdle, still rubbing our hands.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fine. But he was supposed to win that race. Was it Wincanton? Yeah, it was Kingwell.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, back to Sandown. 3:35, the Betfair Serial Winners Fund Novice Handicap Chase. This is, I suppose, the Close Brothers Handicap Chase that used to be at the festival, the Novice Handicap over 2.5. Yes. Golden Sun, yeah.
Very different look about it now, isn't there? It's the same race, but rather than having 40 horses in it with £3 between them and the handicap, it's like four or five non-entities.
Yeah, big difference, yeah. All right. So what's top weight is 1.38 and bottom weight only 8 of them. So not a big swing, 1.14. Wow, okay. Golden Sun is that top weight, also favourite of 5-2 for Nichols and Cobden. Winner last time out in the Johnny De La Haye Silks. Cut Mask for Gary Moore and Niall Hoolan, 130. Terracita for Gavin Sheen, Lucy Watt on 4s. 5-1 Scarface, 11-2 Invincible Now. And the rest are double figures. I say the rest, only 3 others. All right, Rory, back to you then. No, it's Joe's turn. Joe, your turn for this Novice Handicap Chase.
Golden Sun for me, PK. It's a horse that I've kind of been following off a cliff of Smallwood this year and then didn't back him when he won at Kempton last time out. I thought his chase debut in the UK at Warwick was really impressive. Obviously behind Oroco that day, who is kind of half fancy for the Turners, even though he hasn't run since. Kilbeg King was in third that day. Went out to Aintree then at the start of December and was pulled up. I think there was a bit of criticism for the jockeys, even maybe Cobden got it wrong, which was very rare, but they went real gallop that day and it's only Pembroke that ended up finishing. He was pulled up the next time. What was interesting is that he used to wear a tongue tie in France. First two starts in the UK, he didn't wear a tongue tie. They had a tongue tie on him last time or the time before at Newbury. He pulled up that day and then they put the pieces on last time out of Kempton. I thought it was a much better run. He was friendless in the betting, but it was kind of hard to back him on form, to be fair. Half a length ahead of Heltonham, who came out and won next time out. He won the Greatwood last weekend. So look, nice little form boost there. I've always had a lot of Golden Sun. He's kind of been falling down the handicap a couple of pounds here and there because his runs have been disappointing. But look, I think if they got the hang of him now and pieces stay on, I think he should start progressing. So I think he's very fair price here at the top of the market.
Okay, Golden Sun, top weight favourite. Rory?
I've gone to the bottom of the weights here with Invincible Now. I can see that the case for Golden Sun. I just didn't want to be with a short price given his tendency to cut out on bad ground. But I can see that he might outclass these. But I quite liked Invincible Now. Now, I'm taking a bit of a chance because his win last time out came at Fakenham, and Sandown would be very different tracks. But I thought he improved for forcing tactics, Eric. He made all, jumped well and won by a wide margin off a mark of 109. He's up 8 pounds higher than that. He's obviously meeting a horse who could be, you know, graded class. But I like the way Invincible Now did it. I thought he benefited from the removal of a hood on that occasion. He wasn't disgraced at Newbury in his previous start. And his third at Lingfield, only beaten a length and a quarter at November. That's worked out well. The horses who finished second and fourth that day have both won handicaps since. So I think he was a little bit better than his early form suggested. He bolted up last time over 2.5 miles. He's at a very different track. There's no easy lead for him here, but I don't think he needs to. I think he just wants to, you know, to be in a race where they get on with things. And I'll take a chance on him lasting it out at this stiffer track.
Invincible Now for Rory Golden Sun for Joe in the 3.35 Sandown. Right, there are two. Yes, two all-weather races, lads, from Wolverhampton. Break the fourth wall here.
Really?
The bulk lad said to me, because we usually have a chat before we go on air, and I said, you okay, you've got a selection all the races, lads? Joe's like, nah, that Lincoln trial, not for me. Rory, yeah, I don't have one on that either. It's like, usually someone helps. But anyway, by the time we get to it, I'll tip one up on it. But before that, we got the Lady Wulfruna Stakes, a listed race over 7 furlongs. And I really like the look of the top two here. It's a classic conundrum. You've got a horse who is a proper Group 1 horse and should have been a ring, but making seasonal debut, taking on an all-weather specialist, it seems, in Dr. Khan Jr. and a course and distance specialist. Now, on ratings, should have been a ring, should be odds on, but isn't at the time recording is odds against, because I think a lot of people are jumping onto that all-weather specialist angle with Dr. Khan Jr. So, Rory, are you with or against? I'm assuming you're with one of those two?
Yeah, I'm with Dr. Khan Jr. He's a horse who's just going from strength to strength. And although, you know, his on ratings, he has a little bit to find, but that's because he started from a fairly low base and he just keeps winning races for Jeff Oldroyd. Not exactly a sexy stable these days, but Jeff's trimmed plenty of winners in Reg Bond's colours. And this horse has won his last four and won six of his last eight. And just, I don't think he is an all-weather specialist, by the way. I think he's just really thriving at the moment, and all the races at the moment are on the all weather. I think he will actually carry his form back to turf. He was an impressive winner on a big field handicap at York last season, for example. That was off a mark of 71, but I think he'll be effective on turf again. But he won impressively last time out, bouncing out the stalls and making all the running here. He's clearly well suited by Wolverhampton, which is a big deal. And the key here is whether he's able to get to the front early on. I'm not normally a massive fan of horses drawn in stall one over 7 furlongs at Wolverhampton, but this is a small enough field and he's the only one who definitely wants to make the running. So I think we'll probably expect him to bounce out and get to the front. And as a result, that should happen. I think it's going to be pretty hard to pass if he gets there. As I said, you know, you can argue that a couple of these have got better back form than him. Mum's Tipple, for example, has run very well, won this race in 2021, for example, and is very good on his day. But he's a 7-year-old now, and he's been a bit in and out recently. And I think Dr. Khan Jr. is just a horse really going places at the moment. And this race comes at the right time for him. So I'll take a chance that with proven fitness on the side, with this track, which is not everyone's cup of tea, really suiting him, I'll take him to continue that winning run.
All right, one vote for Dr. Khan Jr. Are you going to double up or are you going to go with the class angle, Joe?
Two votes for Dr. Khan Jr. Rory's covered it very well there. Like, you have that lingering question in your head if you're going in at a short price and should have been a ring, who you said, you know, should be odds on ratings and everything, but has been off since Longchamp in the start of October. And look, like Rory said, Dr. Khan Jr. is a horse in form. He's thriving at the moment. He's gone up from like a mark of like 73 at the end of the summer up to 99 now. He's entitled to take the step up here to listed grade. The stable are flying, in fairness. I don't know if they probably don't have much on the go, to be fair, but the horses that they do have are running very well. Question marks about a few of them. Mom's Tipple probably entitled to come on for the run last time out, but like Rory said, is a 7-year-old now. So look, it's not a race that I've spent tons of time on, to be honest, PK, with Cheltenham next week. But I think he's the safe option. He's a horse whose fitness is on his side and he's in form. So yeah, look, if someone's looking for a bet in the race, he'd be the one I'd be siding with.
Double vote for the doctor, the good doctor, Dr. Khan Jr. in the Lady Wulfruna Stakes, a listed race. Seeing as you don't have a tip for the Lincoln lads, who's Lady Wulfruna? There you go. Who the heck? Come on, Rory. Did she buy Wolverhampton Racecourse?
Wolverhampton is named after Wolfrun or Wolfruna. These are
as in the city slash town or the racecourse.
Yeah, that's the name Wolverhampton comes from you know, the old Wolfruna and all that lot from the old days, real old days before horse racing. You know,
bingo, old days. Lady Wolfruna Dunstall Park. That is the Lady Wolfruna says you don't have a tip in the Lincoln lads, but it's on the Lincoln trial. That is, it's at 3:15. It's 11-4 the field. I'll tell you what, folks. If you do fancy, should Dr. Khan Jr. He beat a horse called Kingdom Come 3 lengths last time out. Kingdom Come runs in that Lincoln trial. There's your related contingency double. He's 11-2 for Clive Cox. Not that really. So I'm putting that down as your selection because you're so bloody lazy you wouldn't give us a tip in the Lincoln trial. It is interesting, by the way, folks, that Johnny Murta sends one over. A horse called Final Voyage, been well backed in the antipodes market. William Buick is also riding for Johnny Murta, who's been well backed in the antipodes market. I think he's short enough at 11-4 now, having won a handicap at Dundalk last time. Beat a bit of a twicer in High Time You Won, who, to be fair, has since won, but well backed and might be of interest to some, but I'm putting you down for Kingdom Come. Back to Cheltenham, or indeed we're going to talk about Cheltenham. Rory, your thoughts are well documented at this stage on most of the Cheltenham races. You can jump in if anything changed, but I'm going to go to Joe because we haven't actually heard a huge amount from yourself regarding Cheltenham. If you're looking forward to one bet next week, what is it?
The Arkle race is one that I thought it was very interesting, and the market's kind of, you know, been switching around the last few days with Gaelic Warrior now obviously been a confirmed runner by his owner. Look, I kind of originally
His owner can't confirm him. Yeah, well, it's not up to his owner.
he came out and there's a plunge on the exchange, isn't it? But look, it's a race that I think is very interesting. Gaelic Warrior, obviously disappointing last time. There's probably some bigger issues there, but I'd be thinking he's going to jump right here out to the ambulance road, and I think Found a 50 might be joining him out there. I thought he was the race he won in Leopardstown. His jumping was very pronounced to the right. It's something that probably won't pay long term if you're backing horses like that. Now, it's not to say one of them can't spring up here and win. Elete Tomps again won a novice hurdle at the DRF and then won a novice chase at the DRF, has never really backed that form up. I wouldn't fancy him either, to be honest. And Hunter's Yarn for me has a bit to find at the rest of them. And the one that jumps out a mile here for me is Quilixios. I think he's really, really interesting here, and is one that's gone under the radar a fair bit. Like he probably, you know, he's campaigned at Limerick, beat Cool Survivor, who's kind of really well backed the last week for handicaps at Cheltenham, but that was over 2 mile tree on bad ground. They stepped up to 3 mile at Punchestown then, and he just, to me, blatantly didn't stay. I was at Nace the day he won last time out. He's, you know, the form isn't magic, and Mr. Policeman was very disappointing that day, but seemed to thrive over 2 miles. His jumping was excellent. I think there's holes in a few of them here, and I think Quilixos is the most solid. He's unexposed at 2 miles as well. He's entitled to improve for that run at Nace. And I've backed him anti-post and had a decent enough bet in him. And yeah, I fancy him very strongly, to be honest.
There's a bit of talk about these Henry de Bromhead horses. Frank Hickey's his own Cheltenham preview. He tipped up about 6 of them, Henry de Bromhead horses. And Quilixos has been strong. He actually said that he was 50-1 Henry de Bromhead for the top trainer. I'm just looking for it now. I can't find it on paddypower.com. That's probably about right.
I think it was. Yeah, I remember seeing it a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, he's said, look, Willie could obviously win 10 races or whatever, but he keeps tipping up Henry de Bromhead horses and they do seem to peak at this time. Rory, I'll just bring you in. Is there anything new to what we've already heard in terms of, we obviously have confirmations for the first 2 days by the time we're recording. Yeah. Is there anything that jumped out since?
Nothing has jumped out as such. Obviously, I was hoping the brighter days ahead might be kept in the Mare's Hurdle on the Tuesday, but that dream has died. So just makes it more of a certainty for the Mare's Novice, I suppose, when that comes along. But I've seen, I mean, obviously, I put up Ballyburn, but you can imagine, you just, my lucky 15, as it were, you just have to change a couple of the races in that I put up. Yeah. All the right horses, not necessarily in the right races, as we knew at the time, to be perfectly honest.
No one's really going to care is listening to this, but I'm just, the amount of content we've recorded this week with Ballyburn for the Supreme, it's just so annoying. Like, it's just so in the bin, this stuff.
It's very boring as well, though, PK, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, it obviously has to be discussed because it's a major issue, but my God, it's very tedious at the same time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And there's a lot of talk about, I know Matt Toombs put up, you know, if you're to change one thing at the festival, you declare on the Saturday before, and you know, bits like that, or the confirmation stage becomes the declaration stage. For those who don't know, the confirmation stage is 5 days out, so you could declare then.
It wouldn't suit Willie Mullins, and I think while people would be happy that it wouldn't suit Willie, as we said when we discussed this, that's one of the reasons why he's the best trainer around, because people say, oh, he knows perfectly well where they're running, he just won't say. That's nonsense. You know, he knows where they're most likely to run a lot of the time, but he also knows that things can change, and he wants to win as many races as possible. And a last minute injury to a top horse means you need to shuffle your pack around. And if you haven't, you know, if you've declared early, that just ruins that. So I'm afraid people just got to live with it.
Yeah, I know. It is really frustrating, though. It is. And sure, look, I did, like, the old switcheroos. Would Annie Power have got into the champion hurdle if that rule's in place? I can't remember when she went for injured.
Yeah, I can't remember what point she came. I think she might have come in just about early enough. But
okay, there's the potential that she may have had to stick to the mares, or Lossie Mate, something happened to State Man. Lossie Mate would have to run the mares. The champion hurdle becomes the worst race in the history of champion hurdles. Yeah, I understand.
Remember a few years ago we had the favorite and the second favorite for the champion chase, non-runners. Yeah. Within 24 hours of the event. And obviously, you know, if you take that back a day, then you could have had a switch around in terms of the runners in that race. And that race absolutely fell apart as a result.
And then Defi Desai got beat at Forzan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was that the Henry horse who won, the one in the US colours?
No, it was Paul Nichols' Politologue won that year, didn't he?
Oh, Politologue.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Jeez, my God. Thank you, producer Kira, who has just posted up. I couldn't find it. Here, who's running that Paddy Power website? If I can't find it. Cheltenham Festival top trainer, 16-1 Henry Bromhead now, from 50s, and probably of more interest.
Just do them all in doubles and trebles.
Yeah, you do that.
That's the answer.
A lot of people will do that. But actually, we have priced up, or Frank must have had a word with the specials lads, top trainer without Woody Mullins, and Henry's 5-1 in that market. The top trainer without. Obviously, Gordon Elliott's 1-3 favourite for the top festival trainer without. So they're not the worst bets if you're a little bit concerned about, you know what, I don't want to be punting all day, every day and stuff. Do you know what? I'll back the Bromhead 5-1 without Mullins. Follow every one of his horses. You know, it's a bit of crack. Like, I must say, it was a few years ago. Ruby was stupidly big. I think someone went evens for him to be top jockey. Now, it was good for years ago. And it was, I think he won on countback that year.
As long as I think, it's about 20 years ago, he won the last two races and became champion jockey on countback. He had an awful week, but he won the county hurdle on one of rigmarole. That'd be right.
That wasn't the year, but that I remember that wasn't the year I backed, but I remember he won on countback and I had a chunky enough. I was like, he should have been 1-3 or something like that. And someone went to evens. I was like, lads, here we go. This will pay for the week. Oh my God, never again. So when I say a fun bet, something like 5-1 or bigger and a couple of quid on it. Not the version I did. Right, best bets for Saturday, lads. Let's talk about Saturday's racing. Your best bet on Sandown, unless it comes to Wolverhampton, maybe in the Lincoln trial. Right, Joe, your best bet of the weekend.
It definitely doesn't come to Wolverhampton. If he came making headway for me in the Imperial Cup, look, Rory made a decent case for him, and I liked him as well and said my bit. He's totally unexposed. Have to respect the trainer. They said that there's more to come from. He needs a bit of time, and he comes in here with a marker 129. I think he's about 7-1. Get the Cheltenham kitty up.
Lovely, making headway in the Imperial Cup. One of two selections for Rory in that race. So if you have two in it, I know your nap's not going to come there. So where does your nap come?
I can't nap John Joe's, can I?
So whatever you like.
I think we're... I've made up my mind that my nap should be... I've made up my mind each way on the in the Mare's Bumper, which is an unusual race for me to go nap in. But I think she's overpriced because there's two from the yard in the race and if she's double figures in the day, I'd be very happy with that.
Lovely. I've made up my mind each way in the bumper, on the Mare's Bumper, that is, at Sandown. Thanks very much, lads. Again, a reminder that we have a daily podcast for the festival. Rory and Ruby going through the decks after they appear. Every single race will be covered. There will be no I don't have a selection in this race. Wolverhampton style, Lincoln Trial. Can't believe that. Lincoln Trial, the big race of the day. Big race of the day. Now, Rory and Ruby will be going through the decks once they land. We're recording on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Yeah, okay, I've got it. And then myself and Ryan McHugh will look at the big meeting of the week. Every year I ring Ryan and I say, Midlands Nash, buddy. You know, you know it. And so Ryan McHugh and myself will go through the Utoxer Midlands National card as we is now traditional. But lads, thanks a million. Joe, are you refreshing over the weekend? Are you going to get a chance to?
I'm off today, believe it or not. And yeah, I'll go out for a bit of dinner tonight in Cork, and I'll work from Cork for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, obviously decks on Sunday. So that'll be very busy, and drive up to Dublin that night. Then listen to that Brian Cooper show. Good. Definitely.
It's on YouTube, so, but I don't know.
Oh, well, I can play it. I can play that in the car. That's grand. What I try to do myself, we'll be pricing. I try to keep my own opinion to myself, so I won't be listening to any of your Cheltenham preview content, but I'm sure if people are out there looking for a bet, it's one of the best out there. So yeah, looking forward to listen to the Brian Cooper thing in the car up the way to Dublin, and obviously busy week next week for Cheltenham, and yeah, looking forward to it. Best time of the year, isn't it?
Well, you got like three Cork references in there in one sentence. That was impressive. And Rory, you're going to be based in the Middle East now for the next week or so. What channel do you watch Cheltenham on there?
I can probably get Racing TV if I twiddle a few knobs.
Bring that Amazon Fire. Did you bring that Amazon?
Don't say that's that too loud.
God, yeah. Don't be publicizing it.
Did you bring that Amazon Fire Stick over with you? Did you?
We'll see what we'll manage to watch it somehow. Don't worry.
Yeah, the old Paddy Power website, which you can watch it, obviously, if you're not in the Middle East. That's probably not an option to you in Riyadh, but you can, of course, if you are closer to home. Well, look, enjoy the weekend. Do get a bit of, I hope that you get some sort of downtime, because as you said, Joe, it is a good week, but it's a tiresome week for us, eh?
Yeah,
for us.
The first pint on Friday evening will taste very nice, PK.
Well, mine's at 6 a.m. in the airport on Friday morning, so that'll be very tasty. listen, Rory, I'll talk to you on Sunday afternoon. Joe, if I'm not talking to you in the office or otherwise...
I'll see you in the office next week, PK.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a trader thing. Yeah, I'll see you at that thing. Yeah, all right, but trader briefing. Yeah, okay. Oh, God, that'll be some crack. All right. Joe, haven't seen you in ages. What's happening? Is Cheltenham on? Very good. Right, if you work for Paddy Power, Betfair, Flutter, all of those, we'll be doing that on Tuesday and Thursday as well for those in the office. Right, everyone, have a great weekend. Back a few winners. Do gamble responsibly. Podcasts, they're all coming down. I can't remember. I've got to remember other stuff. Cheltenham Fan Zone, The Rewind Show on Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Have a great weekend. Chat to you next week.